The show is called After Hours. My name is Rick Kogan, and my guest for the next 45 minutes or so is Jim Koodall. We're old friends. He was in the advertising business for some time, and now he is in the... What business are you in, Jim? What do you call what do you do
notebooks
now?
And related materials.
The way this started is it's called Field Notes, and the website is fieldnotesbrand.com. This started 12, 13 years ago when you got a gift from a friend.
Yeah.
And now millions have been sold. Let me tell you that, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Yeah. You got a gift from a friend. What was that gift?
Well, a friend of mine is a designer named Aaron Draplin, and he's collected all of these books that seed companies and tractor companies and fence companies would give to farmers at the early part of the last century as promo items. And so he decided to make one himself, and he made them by hand, and he sent out a few dozen of them to his friends for Christmas presents.
And you were lucky to be one of those friends.
Yeah, we had
you?
Worked on a couple things together. He's a great designer out in Portland. And then he called me and he said, "What do you think about my stupid little notebook?"
Did he really say stupid little notebook?
Yeah. And I said, "I don't think, maybe it's not so stupid." And because everybody liked it when they saw it. And so we quickly made a deal and printed 500 packs of these little craft color notebooks, the color of like a grocery bag, very simple with Futura typeface on it. And we put them up on the web. Our site was pretty popular. His site was pretty popular. I mean, we had 13 orders in the first day.
Wow.
And so we sort of kept going with it for a while, and pretty soon it took over our entire ad agency and design firm, and we fired all our clients, and all we do is field notes. And now we're in 2,500 stores worldwide, and we have thousands and thousands of customers.
Well, I was in a little store. I was in a store on State Street called Posh, which sells stuff from France and stuff from Europe. And there is Field Notes peppering the place. It's not just online. You're in a lot of stores.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing about that is we're not in so many stationary stores, but we're in lots of weird places where you might not find other notebooks, which is good for us, like surf shops and bait shops and mom and pop curated little antique shops and stuff. So, I mean, we're in a lot of university bookstores, and we're in a lot of big bookstores and places you would expect to find us. But I think it's the vibe of it, the way that it looks. It's very simple and unassuming, and they're very well made, and they're made from...
See, that's one of the things I think that elevates them into this, phenomenon, is what I'm calling it, that they are incredibly well made. I mean, down to the typeface. I mean, you are concerned with every single aspect of Field Notes.
And it's all American... It's all American paper and American ink, so that's a thing that's to our advantage as well. Another part of the phenomenon is we have a regular line of products, Steno books and Reporto's notebooks and notebooks, but four times a year we do a limited edition. And people can buy those limited editions direct from us, they can buy them from the stores, or thousands of people have chosen to subscribe so that they get these limited editions because they tend to sell out. And I think
how limited are they? I mean, they must have
The first one we only did 500 of. The last one we just did 36,000 of. So that's the difference.
That's a great example of the growth of this thing.
Yeah. And so the limited editions are different colors or different printing processes, or more often not, they're associated with some sort of a story, and it's almost always an American story. One of our most popular ones was we did a national park series. We've done fruits and vegetables and all kinds of other interesting. We did a NASA thing on the 50th anniversary of landing on the moon. And actually, the limited edition that we're about to launch on Tuesday. So I'm going to spill the beans. We don't usually spill the beans because people anticipate these new ideas. When we started talking about it, and then the second piece of it, which we'll talk about in a minute, I thought of Rick because it's about publishing and design in Chicago. So the limited edition that goes on sale Tuesday is the Great Lakes edition.
It's wonderful.
And it's a beautiful bright blue linen cover, or a textured cover. And there's five books in the pack, one for each of the lakes. And the book is, first and foremost, it's a notebook. It's got 48 pages of graph paper in there for you to write an ode to a Grecian urn or milk, eggs, vodka for your list, your shopping list. But aside from that, it also has a gatefolded map of the lake and tons of information about the history of the indigenous people, how the name came about, how deep is the lake, how wide is the lake, you know, all of that stuff, the flora and fauna. And so the limited editions are a big part of our business because of all these subscribers, but they also give us a really good reason to reach out to our audience four times a year. And it's an anticipated thing four times a year.
It also, and we'll pursue this after a short commercial break, it also allows you to, you and your friend Aaron Draplin and others who are involved to express your creativity, too. I want to find out exactly how this happens, whether you guys sit around at a bar and say, hey, there are five Great Lakes. Why don't we do a Great Lakes thing? I want to get to that. We'll take a short commercial break and be back with Jim Kodal. We're back, and I was telling you, Jim Kodal, what amazes me about Aaron Draplin's collection of these memo books that he has accumulated that used to be given out by various companies.
Almost exclusively agricultural.
Like they were, yeah. Fascinating. Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Oh, and some of the covers are so striking. We're talking about the limited edition, the latest limited edition of Field Notes. They have four limited editions each year. The next one hits, as they say, Tuesday. It is of the Great Lakes. It is incredibly handsome. It's the first time you've done five notebook package,
in
correct?
One pack, yeah.
Tell me about some of the other ones you've done. You've done 55 of them.
Yeah, we've done four a year. So some of our most popular ones is a couple of years ago we did one called the Clandestine edition, and that was seemed like a normal notebook until you started looking at it, and it was full of very difficult to decipher information and codes, and it led you into an online puzzle hunt, and we had thousands of people online trying to solve these puzzles over 3 weeks all over the world. That was pretty interesting. When the 50th anniversary of the moon landing happened, we worked with NASA and did a thing called Three Missions, and so the three books were one for Gemini, one for Apollo, and one for Mercury, and for that one, we usually make a film to go with every edition, and for that one, we sent a field notes into space.
Oh.
We tied it to a weather balloon with a camera and a GPS locator, and we launched it over Iowa. We told the FAA first. Launched it over Iowa, and we tracked it down, and we had all of that over a course of a week to do all that for 6 seconds of footage of a notebook in near space, about 110,000 feet.
As much fun as the advertising game was for you, I have to believe that this is even more.
It is. It's sort of like the ad game without clients. So yeah. That, which is sort of like, which is always
that enriches it. Yeah.
Right. I mean, we had a lot when we were pretty successful design and advertising consultancy, and we had a lot of really good clients. We worked for the Blackhawks. And the White Sox.
Well, you guys were responsible, you and the great Kevin Guilfoyle, the Cold Steel on Ice.
No, that was from Footcone. We inherited that one, but we did like Good Guys Wear Black for the White Sox and a number of other things, and we worked for Let Us Entertain You and banks, and we named a lot of companies. Our friend Kevin and I like to argue, and so naming is a really good thing to argue about, so we were good at that. But one thing I loved about design and advertising is that we would get an assignment from a client in a business that we knew nothing about, and we would have to like jump into the deep end of the pool and quickly learn about this business and make a recommendation for marketing or for a name of it or a TV commercial, whatever. But we love that sort of compressed cramming and learning about a subject we knew nothing about. And Field Notes scratches that itch. Because four times a year, like, of course we knew what the Great Lakes were before we started
but
we really had to dig into the Great Lakes and talk about reading books and doing research and all of that so that we could assemble all this credible information in the books so people could do it. We had to make our own maps, for example, and all of that. So
how is one of these special editions born? Is it a? It's obviously a somewhat collaborative
it is.
Venture. How is it?
Yeah.
Let's use the Great Lakes for an example.
Yeah. Well, this one was unusual because we're coming out of a pretty severe paper shortage of American paper, and it was really affecting us not only because the paper was expensive, but we couldn't get some of the paper that we needed for things. And so usually we would come up with an idea. Let's say we decided we were going to do the Harvest Edition, which we did last fall, and we wanted a beautiful white paper, and we went out and find the paper, and we bought it. We made that the cover. In this case, we were worried about getting any interesting colored paper for the cover of this, but we found this blue, this cobalt blue paper from Nina, which has this texture on the cover of it, which led to something else. And so we bought the paper before we had the idea.
Wow. And is it an idea that is born of you and Aaron in conversation?
No, I have a file called The Book. And the book is just all the ideas everybody's ever had.
Wow.
And some of them are ridiculous and we'll never do them. And some of them, Great Lakes has been in there for a long time. We've always wanted to do a Great Lakes. We just never found the right exact way to do it. So this blue paper, we're like, now's the time to do the Great Lakes. Sometimes I'll just have a rough idea. And then with my staff, there's 10 of us here in Chicago. We're over on North Racine by Grand Avenue. And we'll just talk it through and come back with ideas. Other times, Aaron will pipe in and say, let's do this thing or whatever. So we're always trying to work a couple ahead of time.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Because
sure.
The production takes a long time to make the books. So we haven't, you know, sometimes they're seasonal. Like, for example, we've done a number of fall colored ones. So the fall release would be like last couple of years ago, we did a thing called Autumn Trilogy, in which the cover was embossed with a real leaf shape on it for three different color trees, an oak and an elm, and the paper was the color that the trees turn in the fall. And sometimes they're what we like to call in good company. We try to associate ourselves with something that fits with the brand. For example, we did a day game edition, and the books were green like the ivy and blue and green like the grass and brown like the dirt and white like the ball. And a friend of ours, Kevin, we published a book along with that. We do the notebooks for the quarterly editions, for these seasonal editions, and those are beautiful. But we usually do a little something else, either something to be purchased or something that our subscribers get exclusively.
Interesting.
And that gets the subscribers.
Into the Gap was the name of that book, was it not?
A Drive Into the Gap.
Gap, yeah. A remarkable story about fathers and sons.
Yeah, I think it definitely was, so. We did something interesting with this Great Lakes edition. Now, you can just buy the Great Lakes edition 5-pack and love it. It's got one book for each lake, and they're beautiful, and you can use them for your notebooks. If you're a subscriber or you want to buy it additionally, while we were doing research about the Great Lakes, we ran across these really dreamy, sort of hand-colored
I'm looking at them now,
postcards from the 30s. And we were looking specifically for some Great Lakes postcards just as reference material.
Sure.
But it sort of opened a rabbit hole, and we discovered there's this company called the Kurt Teich and Company that basically revolutionized the postcard industry in America. And up until, they were founded in 1898 or something, but up until that time, postcards were graphic in a way that could be printed like with lithography, because four-color printing really hadn't come around yet.
Right.
And if they were photographic, they could only do them as photographic prints, so they only could do one at a time.
Yeah.
That's no way to build a business, by making one card at a time. This guy, Kurt Teich, came up with this concept.
In Chicago, too. Yeah.
And between the 1930s and 1960s, when they went out of business, they sold a billion postcards. Just about a billion postcards. And when you see one, you'll say, oh, I've seen those before. Because it's a black and white photo that has been hand retouched and hand colored. It looks painterly.
It does. They look like paintings.
But at the time, they were marketed as more real than real, which is a really interesting kind of a concept.
They were printed on
a linen cover, a linen paper stock. Now, for paper, you'll notice papers have textures. And a linen texture is a texture that sort of reproduces the feel of cloth. And so this beautiful color palette that they used on there, and most of these were for scenics, landscapes, tourism spots, buildings. And the way they worked is they would send their their sales reps were the photographers too.
Oh.
And they would take the photos, send them back to Chicago, and their artists would retouch them and add birds to the sky and do all that. So we decided that since we're in Chicago, we did a little more research. We found out that the largest collection of these Kurt Teich postcards is at the Newberry Library right over there.
Yeah.
And we went over and looked at them, and then we were convinced we had to make our own.
Oh.
So as usual, we did it in a kind of a silly way. We, Brian Bedell, who works for me, and Steve Delahoyd, who's a filmmaker who works with us.
I know Steve, sure.
Yeah, they took a 1,300-mile drive to take five photos of the five Great Lakes, and the photos are basically all the same. It's basically beach, water, and sky.
Yeah.
And they took all those photos. They made a film of taking those photos. We brought the black and white photos back to Chicago. We developed them conventionally, and we did not retouch them with the paintbrush, we retouched them in Photoshop, but we retouched them in the way that they would have been retouched at the time. And we printed them with a company out in Cicero on a beautiful linen stock. And so there's a set of five postcards that are available. They were called Art Color Tone postcards. That was kind of their trade name for them.
Yeah.
And so if you're a subscriber to Field Notes, you're going to get your Great Lakes books, and you're going to also get these postcards. If you're not a subscriber, or you don't want a notebook, but you want the postcards, you can buy those at fieldnotesbrand.com as well.
This is a really, you know, I am so, you know, we go way back here. I got the first edition of Field
way
Notes.
Back, yeah. Yeah,
way
yeah.
back.
Yeah. But you know, Field Notes is about a lot of things, but one thing it really is about the history of American printing, publishing, and design.
Yeah.
And so once we fell into this postcard thing, and it happened to be from Chicago, it was almost like it was preordained for us to make these. And and since we had a reason to make them because of the Great Lakes, we did. So sometimes the ideas are born, one idea is born out of another one, you know? Like sometimes, or a particular paper stock or a printing technique that we've tried to do. We did an edition called America the Beautiful, which is one of everyone's favorites, in which we printed them purposefully out of register. Now, in the old days when there was printing, you would have four colors, right?
Right,
and you would have
right.
four screens that would go down, and they had to be lined up perfectly for the picture to be perfect. But they frequently weren't.
Of course.
Because they would get bumped out of a line. So we went to our printer, who was using this big digital press, and we said, we want to knock the magenta color out of whack. And they're like, you want to do what? Because now it's all computer controlled. It's never out of whack. But we wanted it to have that mushy, gross sort of calendar in the garage from 1920 feel, and they came out beautifully. So, like, sometimes we're trying to reproduce a technique, just like with these postcards, but we try to do it honestly. Like, it would be easy to just fake this whole postcard thing in Photoshop and print it out. But that's all fun. Like,
well, that's something, I mean,
you get to be able to make a glorious mistake sometimes.
The whole care and concern that goes into everything Field Notes is, I think, what has, you know, it's all well and good to say, these are really handy little notebooks, and you can put them, and they mostly fit in your pocket. But I think that what has elevated Field Notes is the care that goes into the typography, the design, and the thoughtfulness of it all.
Yeah.
We got to take another break. You got to hear some news, and I'll be back with Jim to talk more about this. You really should go to fieldnotesbrand.com. There's a lot going on that site.
Yeah.
And there'll
be a lot more going on Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday. You can go on now and don't sleep until Tuesday. We'll be back in a few minutes. I have a few more minutes, a precious few minutes, with Jim Kodal of many things, but specifically of fieldnotesbrand.com, which, just go to the website. Jim, talk to somebody and tell them what's on the website, because I'm rambling and saying it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I mean, we have all of our current products and descriptions of them and basically how they were made. There is also a list of the previous limited editions, which is now, this is our 55th one that's going to drop on
Tuesday.
So the other 54 are up there, and for most of those, we've made a film to accompany it.
Mm.
So there's a lot to look at there. There's a blog, and then there's a place where you can order, which we appreciate if you would.
Yeah.
And they're, we deal with the website like we deal with the notebooks. We try to keep it simple and straightforward and make it beautiful.
So. And you also have pens and pencils. All sorts of,
we have lots of related products.
All sorts of other stuff. You were reading something off the air. Read it on the air.
I was going to talk just a little bit more about these postcards, this Kurt Tyken company. This author from the University of Texas Press, Jeffrey Melkies, wrote a book called Postcard America, Kurt Tyken and the Imaging of the Nation. And we use that as some of our research. And he said about these cards that the company's vision now functions both as a powerful artifact of the cultural history of a particular era and as a powerful stimulus to nostalgic reimaginings of the past, which is interesting to me, especially this reimagining, that we're not visiting the past. It's sort of, this is what we think the past looked like. In a way.
But I also think, you know, in this era of you know, quick and I think icy internet age in which we're living, I mean, what Field Notes does, what these postcards do, what the limited editions do, and everything you do, it doesn't just, it's not a nostalgic trip at all.
No, it's not. We're doing them. It's part of the history of American design and publishing, and we're doing it in that tradition. It's not to say that we're not influenced by the past. You know, Rick, I lived with my grandfather for a while after my grandmother died, and he was a note taker deluxe. And he would rip out a little paper piece of the newspaper, and he'd write a note on it. And I would say, Gramps, why are you writing on that little piece of paper? You know you're just going to lose it. And he said to me, and this is the tagline of Field Notes now, he said, I'm not writing it down to remember it later. I'm writing it down to remember it now.
Yeah.
That the simple act of making a physical note imprints a thought in your brain in a much different way than tapping on a little piece of glass does.
Than an email does.
Right.
Yeah. Or even writing an email or reading an email. I could not agree more.
We saw somebody sent us a study from one of the Ivy League schools, and they compared students who attended lectures and took notes by hand versus students who typed their notes into a laptop and their retention. And the people who took notes by hand had much better retention for a simple reason that maybe isn't so obvious. If you're just typing down what the person said, the words are coming in your ears and they're going out your fingers. You can't write by hand fast enough to do that, so you are making editorial decisions about what's important when you're making notes, and so you remember those. So I have a phone. We work on computers. We love the internet, but there is something about Field Notes and a real physical object that is still has a big place in people's lives, and we're glad that's true.
I'm with you on that because I cannot remember, unless it was a crooked politician, the last time I used a tape recorder with an interview. I take notes, and I think it is it's helped me certainly. Are you, Jim Codall, before I let you go, are you often flabbergasted at the success of Field Notes?
Yeah, the thing that we enjoy the most is when we run into them in the wild, like someone's using them, and then or someone just sent us an invitation to their wedding because they were Field Notes fans and they had bought Field Notes and they just wanted us to come to their wedding because they loved us so much. Now, we didn't go to the wedding. It was on the West Coast somewhere.
You sent a present?
No, what we actually did was we took 100 Field Notes and we imprinted their names and the date on the back and we sent it to them. And so, like, that doesn't mean everybody who's getting married gets free notebooks if they invite us to the wedding. But we do have, we have a lot of interaction with a lot of people who use them for different places. We have a regular customer who's up at McMurdo on the North Pole. I think it's South Pole? North Pole, one of the bases up there. Fire spotters in the Gila National Forest are using Field Notes. Like, we love when we see we love the notebooks everywhere, but we especially love to see the thing that's interesting that I've always said is that it's just as valuable to a coffee sipping hipster in Brooklyn as it is to a guy in a ice fishing shanty outside of Duluth. Like, there is, Our target audience is everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. When you satisfy, and again, I mentioned it before, it is another thing that just distinguishes these is the quality that goes into every decision that manifests itself in the notebook.
It yeah. Is, I mean, we can't compete with a lot of notebooks that are made overseas. We just, on a price basis, we can't, so we don't try. Like, we, you know, we just make the books that we make. And maybe that's why we're in a lot of eclectic stores and not in, you know, Walmart or whatever. But the but that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, not everybody wants to buy the same notebook. Like, and I people appreciate the made in the USA aspect of it.
No
Most
question.
Of it in the Chicago area and Wisconsin, but some on the coast as well. Different printers, you know, are in different places.
And also this attention to history, the attention manifested this time in these incredible postcards.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the end of it, the road for the Tyke company was soon after they had developed these art color tone photo postcards, and they had been very popular. Four-color printing became more and more common, and then the ability to print four-color photographs, which in the time... They were these were called linens, and those were called chromes.
Mm.
And now the only postcards you can buy anywhere basically are photographic postcards.
Sure.
So,
sure.
It's sort of, they had this window, and they made hay while the sun was shining. And I think maybe that's why there's an elegiac feel to it, or as the guy said in the book, the reimagining of the past. Like, we're looking back. We're not nostalgia necessarily.
No.
We're looking back at a moment in time in which these postcards could exist and appreciating it.
It is in its way. It's, you're making something that honors history. That
for
honors
sure. For sure.
The
we
past,
did a
that honors the past in a very modern, artful way.
Yeah, we did an edition called the Dime Novel Edition, which there was two brothers, and I'll make this fast, in New York. The Beatle brothers, who started basically the dime novel. They would release a novel every week and sell them at newsstands in New York. And the first one they released sold 40,000 copies.
Yeah.
Rick, if you wrote your next book, if it sold 40,000 copies in a week in 2022, you would be number one on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah.
And they did it every week.
Wow.
But they only existed between the development of this press that they could do it,
right.
And they had favorable postal regulations, and the post office said, okay, you're not a periodical, you're a book, so you have to pay the full rate, and they went out of business. Yeah,
goodbye. Yeah. We only cost a dime.
It was really a dime.
Jim Caudill, it is great to reconnect with you, and it's great to see the incredible success of Field Notes. You, ladies and gentlemen, can read about Jim and Field Notes in next Sunday's Chicago Tribune. For those of you who want to be old-fashioned and pick up
printed material,
newspaper, yeah. Printed material, it will also be online as early as Wednesday. Jim, it's great to see you.
Thanks. Yeah, Tuesday is the day when the Great Lakes edition and the Art Color Tone postcards drop on our site.
Go to the website. You'll be entertained and enlightened. Fieldnotesbrand.com. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Thanks, Rick.